I have to cover some of the material that I'm going to cover today, simply because of the events that have taken place in our country demand that there be a public statement and expression of truth on these issues. I would not be a faithful watchman on the wall for you and those that watch online and by video if I did not address some of these things. I just wish to God that we could get pastors all over America to stand up in their pulpits every Sunday and cover the material that we try to cover here at Liberty Fellowship every Sunday. I just wish and pray that they could, and they would. If they could, if they would, well, we know they could, if they would, America would not be in the condition that it's in today. And so much of what is happening in America would not be happening. What is it going to take to awaken the pastors and the churches of America? I really don't know. But given the absence of the vast majority of these men to stand up and speak out on these issues, it becomes more and more necessary that people like me that do have a podium, that do have a platform that God has given us, a public platform, that we are faithful to give the truth with the platform that God has given us. If everyone else were doing it, it might not be as necessary. We would be able to lend our voice to those of many. But being the fact that so many choose to sit in silence, it means that it's obligatory that we use this platform that God has given us. And so I hope that you'll understand that the platform that we have, that we believe that God has given to us, we must be faithful to it. And we must not shy away from these issues. And I know there might be one or two of you that say, well, I've heard that before, some of the things I'm going to say. Well, yeah, if you've been at Liberty Fellowship every week for the last year and a half, you've probably heard one or two of these things one or two times. But there's a lot of people that are listening and watching that haven't heard it once. And we are going to be faithful to present these truths to them at the opportune moments when they arise. And they've arisen this week. So I've got to be faithful to that. I want to talk to you today. If I'm going to title a message, I would title it, For the Love Behind Us. For the Love Behind Us. And you'll understand what that means in a moment. I want to begin my remarks by quoting from a man that I love to read. There are some men that just, to me, are delightful to read. And one of those men is Gilbert G.K. Chesterton. He is one of the most celebrated English journalists and authors. He was born in the late 1800s and he died in the mid-1900s. Chesterton is just filled with all kinds of tremendous statements and sayings and quotations, and I love to read his stuff. Let me just give you a sample of some of the things that Chesterton wrote so many years ago. Each one of these now is a quote from G.K. Chesterton. It is terrible to contemplate how few politicians are hanged. With all due respect to the politicians we have in this audience. I love that. He said, "The riddles of God are more satisfying than the solutions of man." I like that one. He said, "Socialism was merely social reform, and that social reform was merely slavery." Amen. I like this one too. "Since it is lawful to pray for the coming of the kingdom, it is lawful also to pray for the coming of the revolution that shall restore the kingdom." Amen. Chesterton said, "We must go back to freedom or forward to slavery." He said, "Right is right even if nobody does it. Wrong is wrong even if everybody is wrong about it."
Amen.
And you're going to like this one. "It is always dangerous to have a little boy." "Among the rich, you will never find a really generous man, even by accident. They may give their money away, but they will never give themselves away. They are egotistic, secretive, dry as old bones. To be smart enough to get all that money, you must be dull enough to want it." He said, "Once abolish the God, and the government becomes the God." And then you might like this one, maybe. "Marriage is an adventure, like going to war." I won't look at the man who said that big amen. But this is the quote that I want you to leave with you, and the one that's going to be the prelude for the message. And I want you to listen to this quote very carefully. I'll repeat it once for you. "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Let me give that to you again. "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Hence the title of the message, "For the Love Behind Us." We are in campaign mode with the November elections, including a presidential election coming soon. Have you noticed the campaign ads that we see on television constantly promoting the candidacies of Mr. Reberg and Mr. Tester? Thank you. Yeah. Hard to get it out. Have you noticed? There isn't a word about what the candidate believes or is committed to doing. Every second of every commercial is all about making you hate his opponent. Every commercial is about making you hate his opponent. Reberg's commercials tell you how evil Mr. Tester is. Mr. Tester's commercials tell you how evil Mr. Reberg is. The idea is the guy that can get you to hate the other guy the most, the other guy is going to win. But none of them tell us what they are for, and what they will do, and what the principles are upon which they stand. Notice how the government and the media hype foreign policy. I want you to think here. I'm trying to get you to think as I go into this address. There isn't a word about the ideals and the principles of freedom. It's all about making the American people hate the people that our government is about to attack. No one is standing up and articulating the principles of liberty that are worthy of protection, and what those principles are, and what are the values They will use the word values, but they will never explain the word values. But what they do is hype hatred toward whoever the people are that the government is bound and determined to attack. Now, I want you to compare that with the biblical admonition on how to fight and why to fight. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah. This is a verse that we have looked at in messages past. But I just want to call your attention to one verse in Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, please remember this, the thoughts of the things that we just mentioned. The way political campaigns are conducted. The way the government and the media hype foreign policy, especially as it relates to preemptive war. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. These men were engaged in a battle. They were trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and the enemies of Israel were bound and determined to stop them at all costs. Their lives were threatened. Their work was at stake. And look at Nehemiah's appeal to his men. And I looked up and rose up, Nehemiah 4:14, and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your houses. He didn't say a word about fighting against anything or anyone. His appeal was, you are fighting for something. Now, his remarks are really divided into two parts. Part one was, be not afraid of them, remember the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. This is a great passage. I hope that you will mark it and refer to it often. Isaiah chapter 51, beginning in verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord, thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he shall not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. How dare you fear man? How dare you? I am the God, the creator of the universe. I am the God that set your ancestors free. I am the one that delivered them from bondage. I am the one that rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. I am the one that fed you in the wilderness. I am the one that destroyed your enemies. I am the one that brought you safety and security. I am the one that blessed you. I am the one that gave you peace. I am the one that prospered your children and your families. And now here you are, cowering in fear for man. Here you are, afraid of your oppressors. How dare you fear man? That's the first thing that Nehemiah said. Fear ye not them, Remember the Lord. Now, if you don't remember the Lord, you don't have a relationship with God, and you don't know the Lord, then I can understand why you might be afraid. Have people say to me constantly, a lot of us are very awake as to what's going on in the country. That's why many of us are here in the Flathead Valley of Montana. Many of us understand the things that are happening. We're aware and awake. We understand that there could be some very difficult, trying, challenging days in front of us. And it could happen very soon. But people have to say, Chuck, are you not afraid? Sometimes I become so fearful. You have a choice to make. You will either fear God or you will fear men, but you cannot fear both. If you fear God, you cannot fear man. And if you fear man, it proves you do not fear God. If there is a God in heaven, and there is, God is greater in power, greater in might than all of the wicked machinations of the most evil, nefarious potentate the world has ever known. The empires of the world are no match for Almighty God. And if God desires to protect and prosper and bless His people and give them victory in the face of their enemies, He's done it before and He can do it again. No, I'm not afraid. I'm really not afraid. Compare to the national sentiment at all levels of government and the media. I'm telling you, at all levels of the government and the media, the entire country is being held hostage by the Department of Homeland Security. Amen. And the Department of Homeland Security is being held hostage by a few hundred sandmen called Al-Qaeda. Guys who live in the holes in the rocks, they don't have electricity. They walk around with AK-47s. They never take a bath. They live in the most primitive conditions. Many of them are illiterate, if not most of them. And it's only if you total all of them up, there's no more than a couple of thousand of them at the most. And for the sake of a few sand people, the entire country of the United States of America is literally biting its fingernails, scared to death. And we've got TSA agents in the airports acting like stormtroopers. Did you hear about, I wished I had read this story last Sunday when I was preaching my message on the fear of God, because I had a perfect point in the message that it could have been there, but I missed it. Did you hear that story where the TSA agents were literally making fun of and mocking a group of deaf men that had just left the National Deaf Convention in Louisville, Kentucky, going through the airport security at Louisville, and the TSA agents, they didn't think that the guys would know what they were saying because they were deaf, and they were calling them all kinds of the most vulgar names possible. But hey, a couple of the guys could read lips. And I gave the link on my website of where you can find that. And that's the kind of mentality that many of these people have that we've put in charge of security at our nation's airports. Now, I am personally convinced, and I would love to talk to you if you want to talk about it. And this is going to be something that maybe you haven't heard before. I am personally convinced that Al-Qaeda is nothing more than a contrivance of the dark side of our own government, which provides the boogeyman that everyone is supposed to be afraid of, and through which provides the opportunity for our government to enact all these tyrannical laws against us. That's my opinion. I truly in my heart believe that. And that's not just predicated on something that came to me 5 seconds ago. Now, after the Colorado killings this past week, many are calling for TSA to set up checkpoints at movie theaters. Yes. I have a suggestion. Instead of spending billions of dollars to bring the TSA to tyrannize the American people even further by putting them at the doors of movie theaters, give any and all theater attendees a Glock or a Smith & Wesson as they enter the theater. Amen. Have you ever heard of a madman going to a gun range and opening fire? They are not that mad. People like that deliberately go to places where they can be relatively assured that the people that they are about ready to massacre are unarmed. And the city of Denver and surrounding areas are basically an unarmed population because of the tyrannical laws of that liberal city. Thomas Jefferson said, "Laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve to rather encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man." Well said, Thomas Jefferson. Coincidentally, the killings outside Denver just happened to take place 1 week before President Obama is scheduled to sign the UN Small Arms Treaty, which is scheduled to take place this coming week. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has already signed it. President Obama is expected to sign it this week. Many are predicting that this international treaty will be the precursor for the federal government to outlaw and confiscate firearms from the American people. I do not know how to say this gently. As for me and mine, and I'm confident for the vast majority of the people at Liberty Fellowship, and probably the entire state of Montana, and especially the people of the Flathead Valley, treaty or no treaty, law or no law, you try to confiscate our guns and you had better bring a lot of body bags, because we will never surrender them. Amen. Never. That is not intended to be a threat. That is a promise. Yeah. We will not surrender our guns in the state of Montana. This is serious stuff, folks. And we need to be aware what is happening. Nehemiah said, remember the Lord, do not be afraid. That was the first part. The second part was, fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and fight for your houses. The injunction was to fight for something, not against something. This is critical. Liberty Fellowship, this is critical. We have to understand this. While the federal government and propaganda news media is preparing the hearts of the American people for war with Iran, which poses little or no threat to the United States, which is why the U.S. is covertly destabilizing Syria right now, that is a essential part of the attack on Iran, is to neutralize Syrian opposition. While we are doing this, and this attack may occur, or may occur before the November elections or after the November elections, but it will occur soon. The attack on Iran is coming. While we are doing this, when I say we, I mean our federal government, it is helping to build the Russian nuclear arsenal. Which, along with China, poses a major threat to the United States. We are literally helping Russia to upgrade their nuclear ICBMs. Yes, we are. But at the same time, we're about ready to attack a country that has very little chance of inflicting any serious damage to our country. There are things at work here that have nothing to do with national security. This is the kind of stuff, this kind of stuff is why, unless the people that we elect to federal office understand the reality of the conspiracy of the dark side of government, they are absolutely worthless in protecting our liberties, be they Democrat or Republican. If they do not understand that there is a dark side of government, that it is very real, that it is very prevalent and very powerful, and that many of the honest men and women in government and the military have no idea that the dark side even exists. They're kept out of the loop. If they are not willing to become part of this sinister cabal of international gangsters, if they are not willing to sell their soul to the devil, they will be kept out of the loop, and they will not even know what's going on. If those that are in the clandestine services, if they're honest patriots, Boy Scouts, sometimes they're called, they don't even know, they don't even realize what the dark side is doing right next to them. They're not even aware of it. And if these people in Congress and the people that we elect at the federal level do not have an understanding of this dark side of government and do not see it for what it is, they will be able to offer no solution whatsoever to help the American people resist it. And that's the problem that we have in Washington, D.C. The vast majority of our congressmen and senators either A, are totally ignorant and truly naive about what's going on, or B, more than likely, this is more predictable, there's so much dirt in their closets. The FBI has all of the dirt on record. They got everything on file. And this has been going on ever since J. Edgar Hoover. And they are bribed. When their vote is really needed, when their leadership or their support is really needed, they will pull out that little skeleton from the closet. They will remind them that they know about it. And if they want to get reelected, there's people back home don't want to know about it. And you better play ball with us. And the problem is the lack of morality among the people that represent us is being used as a tool of the dark side to keep them from serving as a resistance to what is happening against the liberties of the American people. That is the reality of what's going on. Amen. Yeah. Nehemiah charged the men to fight for three things. He said, fight for your countrymen, fight for your loved ones, and fight for your property. And to a man, they did. They did. And the wall of Jerusalem was built. Now, when the Lord Jesus fought the battle of the cross, he did so for his great love for us as sinners. He fought for our salvation and our redemption. I want to take you to a verse in the New, a passage in the New Testament that we've got to look at. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is truly the Lord's Prayer. When we think of the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's not really the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17. The whole chapter is his prayer before he went to the cross for us. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. This prayer that Jesus made for his disciples and for us is truly awesome. Let's read verses 20 through 23. Neither pray I for these alone, the 12, actually the 11 at that point, because Judas was a betrayer, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That would be us. We that have come to the Lord 2,000 years later have believed on Christ through the preaching and the teaching that they did, and those that were saved under them, and generations after generations came and went, the gospel was preached, and here we are today knowing Christ as our Savior. That they all may be, what's that next word? One. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Wow. One reason the world does not know God sent Jesus to save them is because they have never seen the church made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. And a lot of people don't know today that God sent His Son to save them. Why? Because they've never seen the church perfect in one. They've never seen it. All over America, churches are fighting against long hair on men or pants on women or makeup or whether God ordained our justification or our glorification or how to baptize or whether Christians should go to movies or listen to pop music ad infinitum, ad nauseum. By the way, some of you fellows here probably would be happy if you could wear long hair. You'd be happy if you could wear any hair. Where's the church today? Here's where the church is. I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. And I said, "Don't do it." He said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "God loves you. Do you believe in God?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you a Christian or are you a Jew?" He said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "Me too. Protestant or Catholic?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Me too." I said, "What franchise?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" He said, "Northern Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, "Die, heretic," and pushed him over. Is that where we are in churchianity today or not? Listen, the unsaved world could not care less about 99% of everything the churches are fighting over.
Amen.
They couldn't care less. It means nothing to them. Nothing. And they don't understand what all the fuss is about. They truly don't understand. All it does is it serves to make Christianity look foolish in the eyes of the unsaved world. And that's why so many unbelievers have such skepticism in their hearts toward the professing church in America today. They see nothing genuine. They certainly do not see the church perfect in one. I tell you what they do understand. They do understand about fighting for their country's liberty. They do understand about fighting for their loved ones. They do understand about fighting for their property. Just as Nehemiah said, everything Nehemiah said that they were to fight for, the unsaved world understands all of that. And I'll tell you one more thing they understand. They understand the importance of love. They may not always practice it. They may be as guilty as anyone else as not being consistent in their love with others, but they understand the importance of love. Everybody does. Everybody. It's a universal language, like music. Even those who don't practice it understand it and appreciate it. All right, all you folks went to see the Hunger Games. Do you remember how the entire country, all of these stoic, hardened, calloused men that were manipulating the games, how they were all captured by the love they saw between PETA and Katniss? Remember that? It's only when love is outside the box that people don't appreciate it, which is why some people have never come to understand the love of Christ, because there was never love outside the box any greater than the love of Christ. And it's why some people don't understand the love between truth seekers either. That's why some people don't understand why you are at Liberty Fellowship. It's why some people don't understand why you moved to Montana. It's why some people don't understand your love for truth. It's something outside the box for them. And because they don't understand that, they can't appreciate it. But if I love you and you love me, if love is what it should be between those of us who profess to be one in Christ, that is undeniable. Everybody can see that. And everybody can appreciate that. If I love you, I appreciate the things that you really love, even if I've never really loved those things myself. For example, some of you love cats. I've never shared your love for cats. But because I love you, I can appreciate your affection for cats, and I promise I will not shoot them while you're looking. That was just a joke. If we really love the Lord Jesus as we should, and if we were really willing to stand for the principles of life and liberty that He established in His Word, these principles are ordained by God. And Jesus is the incarnate God. God become flesh. These principles of life and liberty are of God. And if we love the Lord as we should, and we love the principles that He established as we should, I am convinced many more unsaved people would come to realize that God really did send His Son to be our Savior. And that's what Jesus said, that men may know that Thou hast sent me. He really did send His only begotten Son. But if we are not one as we ought to be, people will not see that. And they will not understand that. That's why I always give people an opportunity to receive the Lord at the conclusion of each of our services here at Liberty Fellowship. The Holy Spirit uses the truth of the Word to convince people of Christ. In a little more than a year that Liberty Fellowship has been in existence, literally scores of people have affirmed their faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, more people have trusted Christ as their Savior here at Liberty Fellowship in a little over a year than in probably the last 5 or 10 years at the last church I pastored. And folks, if there is a real heaven and a real hell, and if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then I want my fellow patriots to join me in heaven. I want them to see the love of God in sending His Son. I want them to see the love of Christ in my heart and in the hearts of the people of Liberty Fellowship. At the last church I pastored, I had an atheist who would attend our service every year or so. It was a kind of an annual pilgrimage that he made. After visiting a few years, I had lunch with him. And I asked him over the lunch table, "If you are an atheist, as you claim, why do you attend my church service and listen to me preach?" And here's what he said. He said, "Because even if I don't believe what you're saying, I believe you believe what you're saying, and I love to listen to a man who truly believes what he says." And that atheist came once a year for years. And no, to my knowledge, the man never did receive the Lord. But in over 3 decades of preaching the truth, I've seen hundreds of people from every walk of life, from every habit of sin, from every educational background, from every nationality, and from every belief system come to the Lord. Why are people moving to the Flathead Valley to be part of Liberty Fellowship from all over the country? Because they want a church that preaches the truth. They want a church where the brethren are one in their appreciation for truth. And they want a church that is willing to fight for their brethren, their loved ones, and their property. These people do not hate everything that the SPLC has written, notwithstanding. These people do not hate. They don't hate minorities. We have virtually every race on the planet, or at least in the country, represented at Liberty Fellowship most Sundays. They don't hate minorities. They don't hate the government. They don't even hate the ones that Satan is using to threaten our liberties. They do not hate anything or anyone that might stand in front of them. They love what is behind them. They love the history of freedom that is behind them. They love the posterity that is coming behind them. They love the land that was bequeathed to them. And they love the God who saved them. Or if they haven't let God give them salvation yet, they at least love the God whom they know gave them liberty. I want to quote Chesterton once again in conclusion, but I'm going to add one word to his quotation. I'm going to add the word Christian in front of soldier. The true Christian soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. Let's stand for a word of prayer.